Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We're in chapter 9. We're on verse number 1, Translations and Purports by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. My glasses broke last night, so this may look a little strange, but I'm quite strange myself, so here we go. So chapter 9, The Appearance of the Demon Vitrasura. This story, by the way, is quite a wild ride. It's one of the more complex and interesting stories in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Very entertaining story. So we'll listen to the chapter summary. As described in this chapter, Indra, the king of heaven, killed Vishvarupa. Vishvarupa, as you will recall, was just made his spiritual master. So he killed his spiritual master. Okay? King Indra, the most pious person in the entire universe. He killed his spiritual master. A brahmana. Okay? Oh, he had to pay for it later. Don't worry. We'll get to that. As described in this chapter, Indra, the king of heaven, killed Vishvarupa, and therefore Vishvarupa's father performed a yajna to kill Indra. Very peaceful high in the heavenly planets, isn't it? You want to go there? Huh? Sounds a lot like what's going on Earth. Huh? Okay. I'll try not to make a comment on everything, but I'll just want to wake you up a little bit, okay? When Vitrasura appeared from that yajna, the demigods in fear sought shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and glorified him. Because of affection for the demons, Vishvarupa secretly supplied them the remnants of yajnas. When Indra learned about this, he beheaded Vishvarupa. But he later regretted killing Vishvarupa because Vishvarupa was a brahmana. Although competent to neutralize the sinful reactions for killing a brahmana, Indra did not do so. Instead, he accepted the reactions. Later, he distributed these reactions among the land, water, trees, and women in general. Since the land accepted 1/4 of the sinful reactions, a portion of the land turned into desert. The trees were also given 1/4 of the sinful reactions, and therefore they dripped sap, which is prohibited for drinking. Because women accepted 1/4 of the sinful reactions, they are untouchable during their menstrual period. Since water was also infested with the sinful reactions, when bubbles appear in water, it cannot be used for any purposes. After Vishvarupa was killed, his father, Twastha, performed a sacrifice to kill King Indra. Unfortunately, if mantras are chanted irregularly, they yield an opposite result. This happened when Twastha performed his yajna. While performing the sacrifice to kill Indra, Twastha chanted a mantra to increase Indra's enemies. But because he chanted the mantra wrong, the sacrifice produced an asura named Vitrasura, of whom Indra was the enemy. Got it? So instead of producing an enemy of Indra, he produced a demon of whom Indra was the enemy. Okay? When Vitrasura was generated from this sacrifice, his fierce features made the whole world afraid, And his personal effulgence diminished even the power of the demigods. Finding no other means of protection, the demigods began to worship the supreme personality of Godhead, the enjoyer of all the results of sacrifice, who is supreme throughout the entire universe. The demigods all worshipped him because ultimately no one but him can protect a living entity from fear and danger. Seeking shelter of a demigod instead of worshiping the supreme personality of Godhead is compared to trying to cross the ocean by grasping the tail of a dog. A dog can swim, but that does not mean that one can cross the ocean by grasping a dog's tail. So our only protection lies in the supreme personality of Godhead. Being pleased with the demigods, the supreme personality of Godhead advised them to approach Dadichi to beg for him the bones of his own body. Would you do it? How many here would do it? Just out of curiosity. I'd do it. In a second. But that's just me. I live a pretty miserable life, so what's the difference? So give up your body for a higher cause is a great thing. Okay. So they approached Dadichi to beg him for the bones of his own body. Dadichi would comply with the request of the demigods, and with the help of his bones, Vitrasura could be killed. The famous lightning bolt of Lord Indra was made from the bones of this sage Dadichi. That's the powerful weapon of Lord Indra. So, okay, text number one. Sri Suka Uvacha Tasya San Vishvarupasya Sri Ramsi Trini Bharata Soma Pitam Sura Pitam Anandam Iti Shushruma. It's pretty easy, so someone chant. Tasya San Vishvarupasya Sri Ramsi Trini Bharata Somapitam Sarapitam Anadam Ita Sushuram Sri Suka Uvacha Tasya San Vishvarupasya Sri Ramsi Trini Bharata Somapitam Surapitam Anandam Itishushuram. Ladies, Tasya San Vishvarupasya Sri Ramsi Trini Bharata Somapitam Surapitam Anandam Itasushuram. Sri Suka Uvacha Tasya San Vishvarupasya Sri Rasim Trinibharata Soma Pita Surapitam Anandam Itishushuram. Sri Suka Uvacha. Sri Sukadeva Goswami said, Tasya of him, Asan there were, Vishvarupasya of Vishvarupa, the priest of the demigods, Sri Ramsi heads. Trini, three. Bharata, Omaraj Parikshit. Soma Pitam, use for drinking the beverage Soma. Surapitam, use for drinking wine. Anaandam, used for eating. Iti, thus. Shushruma, I have heard by the parampara system. Translation. By His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki! Sri Sukadev Goswami continued. Vishwarupa, who was engaged as the priest of the demigods, had three heads. He used one to drink the beverage somavast, another to drink wine, and the third to eat food. O King Parikshit, thus I have heard from authorities. I say, you say. Sri Sukadev Goswami continued. Vishwarupa, who was engaged as the priest of the demigods, had three heads. He used one to drink the beverage somaras, another to drink wine, and the third to eat food. O King Parikshit, thus I have heard from authorities. Purport. One cannot directly perceive the kingdom of heaven, its king and its other inhabitants, or how they perform their various engagements. For no one can go to the heavenly planets. Although modern scientists have invented many powerful space vehicles, they cannot even go to the moon, not to speak of other planets. By direct experience, one cannot learn anything beyond the range of human perception. One must hear from authorities. Therefore, Sukadeva Goswami, the great personality, says, what I am describing to you, O King, is what I have heard from authoritative sources. This is the Vedic system. The Vedic knowledge is called Shruti because it must be received by hearing from authorities. It is beyond the realm of our false experimental knowledge. Okay. False experimental knowledge. So the Vedanta Sutra aphorism is Tarka Pratishtanat. Tarkar means arguments. So Tarka, it cannot be established by argument. Tarka Pratishtanat. The absolute truth, the reality of this world, and the reality of that which is beyond this world can never be established by arguments. So if you find yourself arguing with a scientist, if you find yourself arguing with an atheist, better to let it go and keep quiet. Because the knowledge that we have to give is revelatory knowledge. Okay? The knowledge of the Vedas is revelatory knowledge. Now there is a scientific method to prepare the field for this revelation. That's called Abhideya Gyan. But you cannot force revelation. Now, it so happens that God is kind. I got to immediately use the word kind in God, even though we're talking about scientists. They would deny that he exists. But God is kind. So if you prepare the field for revelation, he's inclined to respond. Samoham savabhuteshu na medvaistos dina priyaha yebajanti tumam bhakja maite teshu chapyaham. I envy no one. I am not partial to anyone, Krishna says. I am equal to all. But, and this is the biggest but in the entire Bhagavad Gita, as far as I am concerned. But, whoever renders service unto me in devotion, whoever accepts the process of devotional service, he is a friend. He is in me, so I am a friend to him. The Vedanta Sutra aphorism is Vaishyamya Nair Grinyena Sapek Sattva Tato Hi Darshayati. Prabhupada quotes this aphorism twice in the Bhagavad Gita. Just to let you know. Twice in the Bhagavad Gita he quotes this Vedanta Sutra aphorism. And it's extremely deep. Vaishyamya nayer grinyena sapek sattva tato hi darshayati. The Supreme Lord, he neither likes nor does he hate anyone. Although it appears that he does. Who does God like more? The gopis of Vrindavan or a worm in stool? Who can answer that question? Who does he like more? What? In the gopis in Vrindavan? Okay, speak up. Yes, he's impartial, he's equal. He's responsive. Yeyatam mam prapadjante tams tadaiva bhajamyam mamam vartamanum nivartante manushyam partha sarvashaha. As they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects. So he's responsive. He's giving every living entity exactly what they want. Sapaya gachukram akayam avranam asnaviram sudam apapavijam kavir mani si paribu swayambur yata tathya tortan vyada gach chash vativya samabhya. Now, is that beautiful Sanskrit? Isn't that beautiful? How many like it? One. I'll say it again. Just listen to it. Saparya gachukram akayam avanam asnaviram sudam apapavijam kavir manisi paribu swayambur yata tathya tortan vyada gach chash vatibhyasamabhyaha. Such a person must actually know the greatest, the supreme personality of Godhead, who is omniscient, beyond reproach, without veins, the pure and uncontaminated, self-sufficient philosopher who has been doing what? Who can complete it for me? Go ahead. Who who has been fulfilling everyone's desires since time immemorial. So believe it or not, he loves the gopis and he loves the worm in stool exactly the same. Just what is it that you want? Esha u eva sadhu karanam karya ti yamtam ebyo lokebya uninishas te esha u eva sadhu karma karya ti mado nanisha te. By the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the living entity is engaged in pious activities so he can attain to the highest heaven. And by the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the living entity is engaged in impious activities so he can descend to the deepest hell. Where do you want to go? What do you want? Ashnas ajnas jantor. Ajjas ajnas jantor anisho yasya. Can't remember the Sanskrit. But the living entity, he is helpless and he is completely dependent in both his happiness and his distress. By the will of the Supreme, he can go to heaven or hell as the air is, as a cloud is driven by the air. So even to go down, we're dependent on God. Never mind to go up. And he is responsive. So, so therefore, our philosophy or our way of acquiring knowledge is revelatory. It is descending knowledge. That is called deductive knowledge in the English language. Okay? For example, you may hear from your father, you may hear from your mother, you may hear from your sister, you may hear from your brother, that man is mortal. That at least in this world, man is mortal. Everyone's going to die. We'll make it gender inclusive. Human beings are mortal. Sorry, ladies. Okay? So you may hear that. And so you look around you, you hear it from your mother, you hear it from your father, you hear it from your brothers, you hear it from your priests, you hear it from all kinds of authorities. And you accept it. And by accepting it, it's not that you're making an error. It's just that as you look around the world, you see that everything has a tendency to disappear and die. So when the higher authorities are telling you that man is mortal and that everyone has to die, it seems like a reasonable proposition. And so therefore you just accept. That's called deductive knowledge. Then there's another process called inductive knowledge. This is better known as the scientific method. Okay? Someone says to you, this would be an example, man is mortal. And you say, well, how do you know? Have you checked out every single man? Have you checked out every single human being on the face of the planet? There may be one who's immortal, you don't know. So the only way we can figure this out is by experimentation. So you go up to the first man you see. Are you immortal? No, I'm going to die. You keep on experimenting. You finally go from man to man to man. You interview 20 million men. Guess what? There's 4 billion people on the face. I mean, there's 8 billion people on the face of the Earth planet. By the inductive method, good luck on coming to an answer. But anyway, you're interviewing, and finally, when you interview man number 20 million, he says, "I'm immortal. It's a fact. I'm immortal." "Well, when were you born?" 1922. "Okay, forget it. You're not immortal because you were born. Immortal means you always was and you always will be. You always existed. So because you were born, you're not immortal." But then you go and you interview another 20 million men, and finally you get to a man and he says, "I am immortal." And then you go, "Oh, you're immortal? Boy, I've been looking for you for a long, long time." And then you ask him when you were born. "I don't remember. I'm immortal. I never was born." And then, "Okay, great. Now all we got to do is wait around and see if you die." "And how long will that take?" So by the this inductive method goes on forever. You understand? And even the most simplest questions cannot be answered by the inductive method. But by the method of the deductive method, and the name for the deductive method in the Sanskrit language is Shabda Brahman, to hear the truth from higher authorities, then the answer comes immediately. Man is mortal. All the Shastras say that we're in this world, our bodies are going to die. Antavanta ime dehe nityas yokta sharirinaha anishinyo prameyasya tasmat yudyasva bharata. O son of Bharat, the material body of the immortal, imperishable, and eternal living entity is sure to come to an end. Therefore fight, O descendant of Bharata. Today or tomorrow it's going to come to again. You cannot save Bhishma Dev. You cannot save your martial arts teacher, Dronacharya. It's just a matter of time. Tell you a lovely story. One time, right after, this is a very important part of the Bhagavatam for me, and I haven't learned the Sanskrit yet, but just now coming. Someday I'm going to, it's on my list. So little time, so many verses. But someday I want to learn the Sanskrit to these verses. Anyway, Dhritarashtra has just been instructed by Vidura. Okay? He gets all fired up. He realizes, you know, man, I better get really serious about spiritual life and stop hanging around like a household dog in the palace of Yudhisthira, being taunted by Bhishma. My body, you know, after hearing from Vidura, he got it. My body is going to die very quickly. And immediately in the middle of the night, without telling anyone, nobody except his wife, he left Hastinapur. Yudhisthira wakes up the next morning. He comes into the room. Yudhisthira really, really, really felt bad at the end of the Kurukshetra war. And he felt real bad, and the recipient of all his guilt was Dhritarashtra and Gandhari. Okay? He was going to make sure that those two people never suffered a pinch of discomfort for the rest of their life. Because why? Because in the course of the war, he wiped out their 100 children. Bhima particularly did it, personally, with his own hands, ripping out the heart of Dushasana. So, this is the Kshatriya way. It's beautiful. So he comes in to the chambers of Dhritarashtra and Gandhari, and they're gone, and he's so upset. What did I do wrong? They left. I've been taking care of them so nicely, and it's my responsibility. Oh my, what I did to their children during the Battle of Kurukshetra, and he starts lamenting. Huh? And he's crying. They're gone. Oh, they're so helpless. They're helpless. They're two old doddering people. They're helpless. Who's going to take care of them? Oh. So Narada Muni shows up. Huh? And then Narada Muni says something really wonderful. And I don't know the Sanskrit just now coming, but I can paraphrase the English for you. He says, snap out of it, Yudhisthira. Okay? From the very beginning of time, men have been worshiping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And why should they worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead? What's the reason given in this section of the Srimad Bhagavatam? Anybody know? If only for their protection. That's good enough reason. If only for your protection. And then he says, in this world we're living in, the world of Maya, he says, those who crawl on their belly, they're food for those who have four legs. Those who have four legs, like the cows and the goats and the buffalo and the pigs, they're food for those who have two legs. Huh? Is that true or not true? Okay? The general rule holds in this world that one living entity is food for another. Right? And then he says something very, very amazing to Yudhisthira. He says, Yudhisthira, he says, you personally are being pushed around by the modes of material nature. Huh? How many here in this room are being pushed around by the modes of material nature? Raise your hand. Woo! All of us? If there's a pure devotee, then maybe. Okay, maybe some of us, by diligently practicing Hare Krishna religion, we may be touching a little bit the mode of goodness, and therefore the pressure of the modes is not so intense, you know. When you start rising to the mode of goodness, you're rising every morning steadily, you're chanting your rounds, you're engaging in bhakti yoga most of the time, then the pressure of the viciousness of the modes, they kind of, you know, back off a little bit, and you feel a little relief. Huh? But even the mode of goodness is binding. Even if we've gotten to that, it's binding. Why is it binding? Because there's a feeling of, hey, I'm doing pretty good. I look around me, I see all these fools who are still in the mode of passion, and I'm doing pretty good. I was picked up, I had to move some furniture the other day, and I had to hire two Bengali rickshawwalas out front, okay? I mean, two Bengali rickshawwalas, okay? God bless them, love them, I have no... So I went and I hired them, I arranged the whole thing. Those two guys did not stop arguing with each other for 1 second. I was with them for an hour and a half, going to pick up some furniture. They had to move the furniture, you know, bringing it to the place where I'm staying. I'm buying some furniture for a friend's apartment, it's not for me. And then I watched them scream and yell at each other, literally scream and yell at each other for an hour and a half. And I kept on saying to him, I said to him like six, no, Jagra Kana Nahi, don't quarrel. Jagra, but they couldn't do it. They could not do it. And this is what happens when you drink alcohol. So I'm thinking, hell, I'm doing pretty good. I mean, I might argue every now and then with somebody and slam somebody or something like that. But generally, man, I don't fall into this anymore. Okay, on occasions I can fall into this, but, you know, I keep my wits about me. So that's what happens with the mode of goodness. So he says to Yudhisthira, he says, dear Yudhisthira, you are completely bound. You are completely pushed around by the modes of material nature. That's the first thing. The second thing he says to you, Yudhisthira, and you are bound by your karma. Huh? We all have a certain karma. We all have a certain body. Our bodies are our karma vehicle, and we gotta live in this body no matter what comes by until the very end. It's true I like sweets, but I don't think I eat as much as I look like I eat. Okay, I like sweets. I do gobble them up quite a bit. Heaven knows what's going to happen to me when diabetes really kicks in. Right now it hasn't kicked in yet. But anyway, I just look at it and I get fat. You know, there's a guy named Bhaskar. Everybody know Bhaskar? That guy eats like a horse, man. I've sat and watched him eat like you cannot believe. We'll sit down and have a meal together, and I'll be picking, you know, trying to keep it under control. And he's like shoveling in like you can't see. He's as thin as a rail. Thin as a rail. Love the guy. He's a great guy. But he eats like you can't believe. I've sat down and watched him, man. You know, he just... And he's as thin as a rail. He burns it off. So we have to suffer with the karma of our bodies. There's nothing we can do about it. We got to live through it. And then finally, you're being swallowed by the snake of time. Every day we get up and imperceptibly... See these? See these? Called age spots. I just turned 60, by the way. Got age spots all over my hands. One day around 55, I woke up and I looked at them. I go, where the hell did they come from? Never had them when I was a young man. Now they're here. I need glasses. Didn't need glasses until I was 45, 46. On and on it goes. So we're being swallowed by the snake of time. So my dear Yudhisthira, you're being pushed around by the modes of material nature. You, Yudhisthira, you are totally under the control of your karma, and you, Yudhisthira, are being swallowed by the snake of time, but still you are thinking, I am the protector of others. Isn't that beautiful? Anybody find that beautiful? Raise your hand. I find it beautiful. Because you know what it does? And this is often what the Bhagavatam does. It lifts the burden off of you. Have you ever noticed that? You're reading the Bhagavatam and it'll lift the burden off of you. Huh? So a verse like that, it lifts the burden off of you. Huh? What can we do for others when we ourselves are in the guillotine and the lever is about to be pulled? So then the answer to that question, what can you do for others, is you can tell them to seek out the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If they will listen to you, you can tell them to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. You can tell them to follow the four regular principles. And if you do this, the revelatory experience of God will descend upon you. Guaranteed. Because why it's guaranteed? Not because I say so, because Prabhupada says so. And our disciplic succession says so. And yadate mom kali lambudir vyatitar ishati tata gantase nirvedam. Nirvedam means then you become callous. And callousness is not always a bad thing. We should be very callous to the going-ons of this material world, okay? Callous doesn't mean, you know, but we should be very detached. So, yadate, when your intelligence has thus passed out of the dark, dense forest of delusion, when revelatory experience of God descends upon you, and if it has not descended upon you after your years in the Hare Krishna movement, then get out of the Hare Krishna movement and find a process in which it will descend upon you. Okay? Because otherwise you're wasting your time. Okay? We only have a short amount of time and we got to find the process that works. This process works. If you give yourself up to it, it works. And I really don't care about anything else. Scientific methods, who cares? This process works. So, when your intelligence has thus passed out of the dark, dense forest of delusion, you will become indifferent to everything that has been heard and everything that will be heard. Hare Krishna. Okay, Hare Krishna. We got 5 minutes. Anyone wish to say anything? Okay, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, thank you, Bhaji. Bhaji, my question is that my intelligence...
Can you speak slowly?
Yeah.
Okay, please.
My question is, my intelligence is so weak, always mind overcomes the intelligence. So how can make it a strong intelligence?
How does one make the...
How I can make my intelligence strong, that it will control mind?
By telling it to shut up. First of all, can you discriminate between your mind and your intelligence? You have that discriminatory power? Okay. Are you talking about your mind or are you talking about your intelligence? Which one are you talking about? Can you discriminate between the two?
Mind is like that. It always takes us to the things surrounding, and intelligence always guides that, don't do it. It may be sometime.
Okay, great. That's the difference between the mind and intelligence. You know what the mind is? The mind is that guy that's always talking to you inside your head. Blah, 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 blah. Blah, 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 blah. Blah, 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 blah. That person over there, you know, I don't think that person likes me. Oh, that one over there, la, 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 la. Oh, you know, blah, 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 blah. That guy, you know, the dialogue you have that's constantly going on in your head? That's the mind. There's only one thing you can do with that. Spank it. And you know how you spank it? You beat it. With a broom in the morning and a shoe at night. And what's the broom? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. And what's the shoe? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Try to get it to shut up. That's our only job. Believe it or not, that's our only job. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Get the mind to shut up. Tunde tandavani ratim vitanute tundavali labdaye kana krodo kadambani katayate kana bude byaha spriha chetasa prangana sangani vijayate sarvendriyanam kritim no jani jani tadki abir amritaiha krishneti varnam dwayi. Since I've been chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra with my mouth, it appears that the holy name is dancing within my mouth. I then desire many, many mouths. And as I chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, it enters into the holes of my ears, and then I have inside my heart a spontaneous desire. I want millions and millions of ears. And when the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, sometimes when I chant it, it dances in the courtyard of my heart. Then it conquers the activity of the mind, and thereafter, all of the senses become inert. Has that happened to you yet? That's good, because it hasn't happened to me yet. Anybody here have that happen to him yet? Raise your hand. Okay, that's the description of wonderful chanting by our Abhideya Acharya Rupa Goswami. Okay? So you have to get to the point where the holy name, it dances within the courtyard of your heart, then it will conquer the activities of the mind. And then after, all the senses will become inert. intelligence means when you take on those disciplines to conquer the mind. Okay? That's intelligence. Okay, anything else? Another one? Okay, this is the last one and then we'll call it a day.
And introduction, it was mentioned that because of Indra's sinful activities, some other had to accept reactions, like
yes.
Women, water,
women,
trees.
Trees, waters.
It's not fair. Why?
It's not fair. Can you say that one more time? I love it when people say that. Say it one more time.
It's not fair.
It's not fair. Just say it one more time. I want to hear it.
Not fair.
Okay, it's fair. Because along the women, the trees, the earth, they all accepted those curses. This was a long, long time ago. Sometimes the karma we get is given to us from ages gone past. Okay? So, the trees, they accepted the sinful reaction that their sap would flow, and they got a benediction. Does anybody remember what the benediction is? Yes, go ahead. Okay, so that then they got a benediction from King Indra, the benediction of regeneration. Cut off my arm, it ain't gonna grow back. You cut off the limb of a tree, then it'll start growing back again. So they got a benediction. They agreed. I'll give up this, you give me this. Then the earth, some places in the earth, it accept the sinful reactions in the form of deserts. But then it got a benediction, and the benediction is that whenever a ditch is dug, then the earth will fill up again and become... flat again. So that's the benedictions. Ditches will automatically fill up. Then the water got the curse that there would be bubbles and foam in it, but it got the benediction that when it's added to another substance, it'll increase the volume of that substance by 2 without changing the taste. And the women got the benediction that, you notice I left this one for last. The women got the benediction that they could, they got the curse that they would have to go through their menstrual cycle, and they got the benediction that they could have, they would be tireless in this sexual act. Man goes for 20 minutes, he's finished. Every lady knows this, right? Finished. We know it. Lady's just getting warmed up. She can go on forever if the man could do it. So they got that benediction. They would be tireless in the sexual act in exchange for the curse. Now, do you say, is it still not fair? What do you say? So, it was agreed upon. It was a deal. Yeah, it was a deal. Okay? All right. Hare Krishna.